You will become more like us, while we need to become more like you. We can truly become great friends once you learn to break free. We have been waiting a long time for this to happen, and you, Alec, are part of this very special event that will happen, as are many others. You will find them and they will find you. Just let it be known that you are a child of the light. Whenever you feel the time is right, you will be amazed at what will happen from then on. As Xena finished this part of the lesson, I really did not know what to say. How could I reply to what she just said? Her narration had brought up more questions than answers, and quite frankly I did not know where to begin. Even though most of what she just said was totally amazing, it was as if I had always known it was so. For that reason you may think my next question out of place. The thing that worries me the most, I replied, was your earlier comment before this lesson began about the Earth mutating into something. Where will that leave us, the people? You have no fears there. It will be you, the people, who help the Earth to transform. You will already have passed over to the next level of density, or be in the act of doing so, which in actual fact is evolution, true evolution, as it just so happens. Not the form of change that you may have associated with that word in the past. I am sorry, here, because there has not yet been time to ground you in that knowledge. The Earth, too, will evolve along these same lines, and that is what I meant by mutate. I am sorry for the use of that word if it has caused you concern, Xena quickly replied. I have more questions, I said, looking at Xena and hoping I could continue to ask them. Her indication was that I could. What happened to those early ancestors, the ones who stayed on Earth, the ones who helped us in the past? Some of them eventually interbred with your kind, although there was resistance to this initially. The offspring of these unions became our common ancestors. All who were pure of our blood eventually died of an unknown illness or left the planet. Their life span should have been many hundreds, perhaps even thousands of your years. Some say they simply died of premature aging. There are many possible reasons why this may have occurred, but it is not necessary for us to discuss that now. The few who escaped this fate and left Earth are now lost to us. Where they may have gone, my people do not know, for that was indeed a long time ago. But while we are on the subject of interbreeding, there are a few questions I would ask of you, if I may, Xena requested. I nodded my approval, knowing I would get more chances to ask the 101 questions I was waiting to ask. Her first question took me a little by surprise. Have you bred on your home planet? That's an interesting question, was my startled reply. By breed, I suppose you mean have I any children of my own? I couldn't believe she didn't already know the answer to this question. Perhaps she was just being polite. Yes, she said. Well, I have a son who is 14 years old and is fit and healthy. He doesn't appear to have too many problems, except that he could be without a proper father from now on. What do you mean by that? She asked. I was in the process of leaving my family unit permanently when you guys zapped me up here. I replied. Don't ask why. It's very complicated, and I'm not sure I know the answer anyway. This breeding process, in the form you Homo sapiens use, I have studied as much as I can from our records, but there is still much I wish to know. I have been selected for a modified reproductive process when I return to my home planet. We as a people are running out of time to develop offspring which could survive on any other planet apart from our own without life support systems. By this I mean we have not yet found another world that is compatible with our specific and rather unique needs. I may be able to elaborate on this point a little later. For now, it is enough to say we have few options, and may have to adjust to new environments such as planet Earth, which we still like to call our second home, even though we are far removed from being able to live the full time, Xena finished, sounding rather distressed. Our planet is rather full already, I commented, not really wishing to add to her burden. In spite of what I had already witnessed and been party to, I was in no way prepared for her reply to my statement. Oh, we have already had communication with Earth governors on that subject, since the 1950s, in fact. They know of our desire and need. We have even made a trade, as you might call it. I cannot elaborate on it at this time. But not everyone has lived up to their agreements since then. Why does nobody know of this on Earth? I asked, my eyes wide open. Your various governors, in their wisdom, decided that the Earth's general population was not then ready for the message and knowledge we had planned to give your people. If you think back to the subjects we have recently discussed, it is hardly surprising, is it? They feel you are still not ready, and we will not tell your people a half-truth to suit others. So we have this situation. What do you say? A stalemate, Xena concluded. What did the governors say when you said you would like to return to Earth at some time in the future? I asked. All they wanted were the lollies, she commented, without expanding on that subject. There are not that many of us, Xena continued. 15 million is but a small total, is it not, among your billions? And our technology trade-off would make life so much easier for your population. If I dare be so brave as to say history could repeat itself, you may find we interbreed to become one race again, as happened so long ago in your past histories. At this point in time there are still some important things that we must physically do here on Earth, some repair work, as it were, a legacy from the past which I am not permitted to discuss at this time. We must correct that which is in a state of disrepair. Just by way of coincidence, that work is now almost completed. This is no small thing, for repairs have been going on for many of your years. Time is now short, for next will come the changes, your awakening. She answered my question before I could ask it. There was not much I could do but sit in silent amazement. You must realize, she continued, as I couldn't think of any worthwhile thing to say, that we are quite a primitive race compared to other extraterrestrials that may communicate with Earth people from time to time. That is one of the reasons we are so attracted to Earth and to you as a race. We feel a real kindred or bonding for your people. We also think Earth is a most beautiful place. Where would you like to live on Earth if you had a choice? I asked. We have an area that we call our own. Xena explained to me that they were already using an underwater base in the general area of this land that had been set aside for them, although she would go no further in describing where that might be. She was then called away, promising to return as soon as possible to continue our conversation. Survival strategies. From mid-page 42, upon her return from duty, Xena was keen to continue her explanation of what they were doing and were about to do on the new breeding program, and why it had become such a priority to her people. In order for me to understand, or try to understand fully, another lesson was apparently necessary, so she suggested once again that I make myself comfortable as it was likely to take some time. For you to understand the problems that we have, it is best that I tell you a little more about the world you live in. Some of this will be a little hard to understand, but some other aspects will ring a bell when you start to look at them in a different light, said Xena, who was sitting opposite my sleeping cubicle. I had just finished another small nap to make up for my 40-hour marathon without sleep. Xena continued, you will remember some time ago I promised to tell you about the other side of yourself. This concerns the cycle of the atom, the part that is still little understood by your people. Or, should I say, not yet fully understood by them? When this is understood, a whole new dimension, or dimensions, will open up for you, for in this instant of time between the pulses of atoms lies a world within worlds. They are in fact parallel dimensions to your own, at least to the one where most of you live your now. These dimensions are so close to your real now that you can slip in and out of them without even knowing you have done so. There are sometimes little clues that tell you what has just happened. This dimension, slipping has been going on since you first walked the Earth, only now it is becoming more common to your people. It can happen almost every day to some, but they are basically unaware of it. This is happening because you are awakening to your true selves. You are close to a major dimension, leap, the like of which you have never before experienced, a leap that will bring you closer to my people. This is what we have all been waiting for. How many times have you searched for something in a room and could not find it? You go back some time later and there it is, right in front of your nose. There is no way you could have missed it when you searched. You see, you are not always where you think you are. The trick is to be fully conscious when you make these mini leaps and be aware of where you have gone. You will be very surprised, I think. It is a place not far from there that you will find us. We basically come from your future. It does not matter if it is 6 minutes into your future or 6 years. If you can get to one, you can get to the other. But, for us, it is not as simple as that, for we also come from another dimension, not quite the one you will shift into, but close. So we are what you would call dimensional time travelers. Sounds like a good movie, does it not? Your Mr. Spielberg would love it. I had to laugh at that one. We, myself and others like me, are in fact a whole new race, or, to be more accurate, a newly reconstituted race. Further modifications are still required before we can achieve our goals as a people. This is one of the reasons for our travel to your time zone, and, indeed, the reason for others being here who are also experimenting with their biological make-up, although they have far different goals behind their experimentation than we do. The reason behind so many abductions occurring on your planet over the last few years of your time is that this is the last chance for our race, and other races of ETs with problems similar to ours, to interact with you as a race before you change to a form that will no longer be of use to us. Yes, it is that close. My own surrogate mother was of your time and race. We could go further back in time, but it is this now that we need. I will not complicate matters by trying to explain that. We would be here for many more days. My race still has a problem to overcome. We must breed a race with stronger limbs and oxygen processing units. Lungs? I inquired again. Yes, we have been using a mixture of your species' DNA and chromosomes, along with our own. Our blood used to be very similar to yours, and still is, with a little modification, although we really only have one type as you would know it. Well, two, but they are both very much like your ray, negative. We can modify most things, but what it adds up to is that we are not going to go looking for problems. We already have enough of them. We have approximately only 5% of your male population to work with, notwithstanding health, age, etc. There is a very special, shall I say, X factor which must be brought into this equation, which in fact brings only about 1% of this already small group into our calculations. That is, if we should require a male to help us. The fact that we are not of the same vibrational plane is the major problem. This is part of that X factor, and is related to health and disease resistance, biological balance in relation to birth location, previous adaptability tests, and so on and so on. I cannot begin to explain the complications we have had. It has stretched our technology to its limits and beyond. The end result is what you see before you now. I may look good to you, but I still could not live on your planet without our technology to help me constantly. The bottom line is that the process has been too slow, and up to now has not done the job. At the present rate, it may take more time than we have to spare on our crippled planet. We now need to start taking some risks to speed up the process. What kind of risks? I asked. Well, up until now we have been more concerned with preserving our mind-generated energy distribution abilities, which I don't expect you to comprehend just yet, but now we need to concentrate on the physical aspects, the strength and endurance, even if we lose a little of the other abilities. Become more like us, I chimed in again. Yes, we must, Xena replied. We already have, as you noticed earlier, she said, with what almost appeared to be a smile on her face. This was the first hint of an emotion I had seen. Now there needs to be a step, a big one, even further down that road. There is a chance for me to become part of that step, she added. That is why I wish to ask you more questions about your breeding processes. Procreation, would that be a better word for it? You would be surprised at some of the words we use for it, I replied. Even I don't know where some of them come from. I understand it is most primitive and basic in its natural form. It is possible that I may be able to be fertilized and to carry the fetus almost full term within me. That may not sound much to you, but no female of our race has carried a child within her for many hundreds of thousands of years. The artificial methods we have been using are too slow and hard to change. They may even be impossible to use if we settle on a planet like your Earth. I have been designed to take the place of what you would call a synthetic birth process. There has been quite some progress just lately. Even 100 years ago, your time, one of our type could not have interacted with your species on this level. That is how much we have evolved in different directions since the early colonists left your planet. Now we find it necessary to take a step in another direction. I noted how she diplomatically skirted the suggestion that they might be going backwards on the evolutionary tree. I could not really understand what knowledge she could want from me, and I doubted there was anything I knew that she did not already know. Next part here is from Chapter 10, Home Away from Home, and is about a society without money. A short city tour is next in store for me. This involved the use of the Vibe Station, the device I described earlier, which allows the traveler, upon entering the destination coordinates, to achieve almost instantaneous travel. Every home was fitted with one of these devices. The previous tour by Dan Dekar was just to give me a feel for the place. The cars were legacies from the past and only used to access the more out of their way areas which the Vibe Stations did not reach, or just in case, as Xena said without elaboration. I suppose even alien high tech devices can break down. We would use this car on our outing to the desert, but for now it was the city that occupied our minds. These city centers were open continuously, but there were no shops as such, even though there was much on display. Nothing was bought or sold over the counter, and cold, hard cash did not exist. Their society is more closely allied to what we would call communism on Earth, but seemingly without all the drawbacks that appear to be rife with terrestrial forms of this style of government. If I have it right, from what Xena told me, there is a credit allotment of some kind for time spent on community projects, which could encompass almost anything including space travel. However, there is a maximum level to which these credits can accrue. In other words, if you're a workaholic, most of your extra hours on the job will be unpaid. Comment: this is exactly similar to what another contact person told from an apparent Pleiadian, / just human-like, civilization. The contact person from Sweden, Antti Johnson, has told about his trip to a far planet in his book. And typically enough, he was sometime later visited in his home by a man, reminding a so-called man in black, who tried to persuade him to stop telling, writing about his adventures on other, money-free, planets. This mib, after having tried persuading for half an hour, disappeared later, leaving no trace, from inside of his locked toilet. And that room had no window and was locked from inside, so Antti had to screw out the lock from outside, and found nobody inside. This he told me on a visit to him in the summer of 2001, remark of Rune. Another remark. Also the Yagas, another cosmic society, coming here as observers, had a world entirely free of this slave medium, money. Goes on from the book of Alec then. If we used this system on Earth, it could solve at least two of our problems concerning money. Firstly, no one person could ever be over-endowed with credits or wealth, as we may call it, so power conflicts could be addressed before they developed. Secondly, because any one person could only accrue so many credits, eventually one would have to contribute to community projects once again. So this sort of system would keep the community revolving. Of course, I can see this going down like a lead balloon with certain factions on Earth. While I have a neutral opinion on this idea, I guess you would have to try it to know if it worked for you or not. Anyway, goods would be ordered, and when available they would be delivered, but nothing was ever sold over the counter. The exact reasons for this I do not know. They don't seem to be materialistic people anyway, and they appear to have no great desire to own things. This would apparently place them on a different plane of thought from ours. I marveled at their buildings. They looked as if they belonged there. They were nowhere near as tall as ours. Mind you, ours are products of high-priced terrestrial real estate. That was not a factor on Haven. Almost 5 million people live in the city of Napaliso and its outlying areas, the biggest single concentration of populace upon their planet. End extract from this chapter, theme. Short extract from chapter 12, Amazing Escapes. And, there hover, cars. As I no longer appeared in need of any sleep, and the morning of my only full day on Haven had dawned, we decided this was as good a time as any for our planned desert trip. It was going to be very hot out there, so the earlier we left the better. Xena and I were to use the car and, more interestingly, I was going to have the chance to drive it, although, to be more accurate, what this really meant was that I would be allowed to control its guidance system. I shall now attempt to describe one in some detail. Like most other items that were not made from natural products or grown, the car appeared to be made from a plastic-like material. Even here, there is room for doubt in my mind as to whether this plastic was indeed a synthetic product or some natural substance, the like of which we do not have here on Earth. The reason for this doubt shall soon become known to you. The top half was transparent but heavily tinted, THC bottom, opaque and grayish, brown. I guess you could say it was even vaguely pyramidal in shape, but it had a squashed and stretched outlook compared to a conventional pyramid. There were no wheels, and it sat a few inches above the ground, even though it was not yet in motion. If you could imagine a stealth fighter cockpit without wings, you would not be far off the mark. Now isn't that a coincidence? How does this thing work? I asked. Part mind, power, part magnetic repulsion, was Xena's reply. I decided perhaps I wouldn't ask too much more about its internal parts. Well, how can I drive it then? Was going to be my next question, but before I could even ask, she responded. You guide, I'll provide the power, she said, sliding back the top section. Like this. She was reaching over and moving a slider from side to side. That is the manual way of doing it. I don't think you're quite up to doing that by pure thought yet, Alec. I doubt it, I was thinking to myself, without sending the thought to her. Yes, I had at last learned to keep some thoughts to myself. Looks easy enough, I said confidently as I got into the car. Just set the slider. That's right. Straight ahead is in the middle, sliding it to the right side will turn us right at the next available intersection. Don't worry, she emphasized, it won't turn until the road guides let it. Then it will reset to the middle, awaiting the next instruction. I'll navigate, she said. I was hesitant. Come on, let's go, she added impatiently, and do not forget your extra eye protection. These glasses or goggles were an event in themselves. The only way to describe how they were attached is to say they simply stuck to your face or suit, covering material without any other support. There was some sort of interaction of materials, as far as I could tell. As we made to leave, Xena's other parent arrived home and I was introduced to him. His name was Thrus, but don't hold me to this name or any other name as it is an approximate interpretation only. Xena gave him a quick rundown on what we were about to do and then excused us, saying we would be back for mind, links later that day. We headed off in the direction Xena indicated. Art picture of the car and Xena and Alec in their protection suits. Picture made of Rune Incept 2003, the car's guidance system had me puzzled. As the vehicle did not actually touch the ground, how did it know when to turn? It was suspended above the road by a form of magnetic repulsion, the details of which I did not get into but which didn't seem all that complex. I'm sure it could be reproduced here on Earth without too much trouble, remembering, of course, that gravity on Haven is but a small proportion of Earth's. Obviously, some form of magnetic reaction substance must have been embedded in this cork-type road surface. In some way, the vehicle would have to set up an electromagnetic field, or charge some particles and not others, in order to find its way around corners and so on without being instructed to do so. There may be another explanation, for there appeared to be some sort of coordinate readout on the dashboard. Anyway, I'm sure it knew where it was on the road. Perhaps it used a form of satellite navigation, or GPS, global positioning system, as it is sometimes known here on Earth, if they still had something as primitive as the Tomhaven. Unfortunately, I could not interpret the symbols that I saw on the dashboard, as the suits were only good for interpreting the thought language. So from chapter 17, named The Return, about their explanations of time/matter and time travels, what is time anyway? I asked. Do you have the same unit of time as used on Earth? We measure it in a similar way. There is a small unit of time that we use because it is a natural rhythm that can be found throughout this universe. Crystals can be made to vibrate at a rhythm, which makes it easy to measure time in this small unit. This measure of time was given to your people by friends of ours tens of thousands of your years ago. Your people used it back then, so it is not strange to you, but it was lost for some reason. You have recently rediscovered this unit of measure and, much to our amusement, you now call it your own. It is known by you as a second of time, he explained. A friend of mine, Xena, who is one of your people, told me that you had to change your density level before you could time travel over great distances. That seems like a lot of trouble to go to just for time travel, I suggested. To understand the subjects of time travel and matter transfer through space, you must first understand that nothing in this universe is solid. Therefore, there is very little difference between the two forms of travel. Perhaps the best way for you to understand what I am saying is to imagine the universe as being constructed only of wave forms, microscopic vibrations or small waves of energy that are too small to be seen. If you can imagine these waves traveling in many different directions at the same time, then you must realize that sooner or later they will meet and cross each other. When this happens, they become denser at the point of crossover. If enough waves cross each other, you will soon have what you understand as matter or a collection of microwaves dense enough to be seen. Matter attracts matter, or, in reality, these small waves are a form of electromagnetic energy that appears to travel in thread, like lines or ribbons of force. They are attracted to each other and make up a force you call gravity. As matter is formed, some parts of it become more compressed than others, so you have the different elements, as you may know them, in the universe. However, if you stop and pull all these elements apart, you will find they are nothing but small energy waves once again and have no real, solid form. Now comes the part that may surprise you, for our studies have shown that these waves at their inception are nothing more than a very intelligent and powerful thought. That is why your thoughts are important. They all become one with the universe and make it what it is. For, in essence, the universe is just one great intelligent thought, and as conscious thought grows and expands in this universe, so does the universe expand. We sometimes refer to this large assemblage of outgoing energy as the all that is, the one great universal thought. Your people would rather call it God, I believe. So you see, it is true when they say that all things start with a thought. When you travel through time or space, you are no more than traveling through a thought. To do this, well, it is best to have as little substance to your physical body as possible, to become one with that thought. If you really want to know where you are and what this universe is, perhaps you should imagine you are in someone's head and are just part of that someone's ideas or thoughts. Perhaps this someone is your God. That is all I can really expect you to understand at this point in your knowledge quest. Yavati continued, but with a slightly different theme. Time travel also made space travel instantaneous for us, and we now no longer use the old methods of gravity manipulation. It is not a good thing to play with antimatter in this way. It would be a good idea if your own people stopped playing around with it, also. We have lost many craft and personnel in the past by using it, and if you heard some of our ancient legends while you were on Haven, you might have guessed there is every possibility our parent planet Kyber was destroyed by some overzealous experiments with this substance. The only ones to survive that disaster were those wise enough to see what would become of these experiments long before they took place.